The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody, to the 92nd episode of Dave's Gone By. Brought to you by Total Theater, the Tondor Grill, Hewlett Minuteman Press, and Quiznos of Hewlett on this Thursday, September 2nd, 2004. Every show is different. Every show is special. This episode, however, is beyond the beyond in terms of majorosity. I've had a lot of guests on this show, a few more well-known than others. I try to pick ones that are meaningful to me. I only have 1 hour a week on the station, so whenever possible, I try and get guests who really are special. Sometimes they're a bit out in left field, but appeal to me just for that reason. Like street performer Art Paul Schlosser, who played songs over the telephone featuring his unique brand of musical humor. In fact, Dr. Demento has been playing his song, Vote for Me, It's a Joke, as the November election approaches. And I've talked to opera phonetic Stefan Zucker about music and styles of singing. In the studio, we've had October Project, one of the most profoundly beautiful pop music bands in the world. And we welcomed Housewives on Prozac, the homegrown Long Island feminist comedy band. In fact, we had such a blast with them, they're hoping to use excerpts from that show on their upcoming Christmas CD. We'll talk to Neil Sedaka about Yiddish music. I talked to a guy who was arrested for writing I Hate LIPA on the back of his electric bills. And last week, it was musical talk with Jeff Labus, who did all the piano work and arranging for the one and only Van Morrison on such albums as Moondance and Hard Knows the Highway. So, I go with my gut. And I trust my guts. I have good guts. And as I mentioned last time, we're going to keep the guts and the guests coming in the weeks ahead. The next episode is kind of serious because it's so close to 9/11. I'll be chatting with Captain Al Fuentes, a firefighter who was both a hero and a victim of the World Trade Center collapse. In fact, he was buried alive for more than an hour before they finally located him and dug him out. It's quite a powerful story, especially since he was born in Ecuador and didn't even come to this country until he was 8 or 9. So it's a patriotic but non-political talk with Alfredo Fuentes on the September 9th, Dave's Gone By. Then we break for a week for Rosh Hashanah and come back September 23rd with cabaret artiste Dottie Berman. She writes mostly humorous tunes like I'm in Love with My Computer, Is She Jewish? And the Cell Phone Song. So that'll be a fun way to start the new year. And as special as all these guests are and have been, tonight is one of the majors. Tonight is a long-time wish fulfilled. And here's the story. Back when I was in my early teens, I liked rock and roll. I liked all kinds of music, even the crap they were playing on AM radio. I didn't know any better. I could dig a Rolling Stones album and then put on Casey Kasem and hear The Night Chicago Died or Seasons in the Sun or Everybody Was Kung Fu Fighting. Yes, it was those years. And I was always fascinated and remain so with other people's record collections. I guess it's because my dad has always been a big and multifaceted music fan, and I hear the things he'd play all the time. Everything from Beethoven symphonies to the Joe Cuba Sextet to the Clancy Brothers to Benny Goodman, it was all good. And even if I didn't dig all the music, it was an education just looking at the record covers, the Roulettes and the Columbias and the Deutsche Grammophones and the Hugo and Luigi's on 45. And also, when I was young, I had cousins, close cousins, who lived on the same floor of our apartment building in Brooklyn. And when they moved to California, they left me a few albums from their record collection. Something to corrupt me in a good way, I guess, and open my ears past AM radio pop and Hebrew school music. So they left me a couple of Beatles albums, The Doors' first album, the greatest hits of Jimi Hendrix, Steppenwolf, remember, I think it was 8, Big Brother and the Holding Company, and last but most, Bob Dylan's greatest hits, which took a while for me to get around to, but when I did, as Bruce Springsteen said about the first drumbeat of What a Rolling Stone, it was like kicking open a door inside her head. But the odd part is that long before I was able to appreciate Dylan, I was already a big fan of folk music. You probably won't remember this, but in the early 70s, before the FM radio station WKTU turned to disco, and later on adult contemporary or Spanish or whatever they are now, they were a mellow folk station playing Peter, Paul, and Mary, and John Denver, and the Kingston Trio. The closest equivalent right now is WFUV, which updated the format to something more contemporary and folk rocky. So I liked KTU, and solidifying the appeal of folk music for me was another record collection from another pair of relatives, my aunt and uncle. They had a handful of folk albums, including one by Phil Oakes, All the News That Speak to Sing, and an album by Mark Spoilstra, Whatever Happened to Him, and a couple of albums by a fella who, had it not been for Bob Dylan, would have been the reigning king of modern folk music. He'd been playing in Greenwich Village clubs since 1960, released his first album on the Tiny Gaslight label in 1962, became part of that whole broadside stable of folk songwriters, and then he was signed to Elektra Records for his first major release in 1964. That album, only recently released on CD, boasted half a dozen classics that have remained in his and a zillion other artists' repertories for the past four decades. Songs like Going to the Zoo, The Last Thing on My Mind, I Can't Help But Wonder Where I'm Bound, and this one.
He was a man and a friend always. He stuck with me in the hard old days. He never cared if I had no dough. We rambled round in the rain and snow. And here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your rambling bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. In Tulsa town, we chanced to stray. We thought we'd try to work one day. The boss said he had room for one. Says my old pal, we'd rather bum. And here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. All your ramblin' bring you joy. Late one night in a jungle camp, the weather it was cold and damp. He got the chills and he got 'em back. They took the only friend I had. And here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my ramblin' boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. He left me here to ramble on. My ramblin' pal is dead and gone. If when we die we go somewhere, I'll bet you a dollar he's rambling there. And here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy. Here's to you, my rambling boy. May all your ramblin' bring you joy.
The Tom Paxton albums I borrowed from my aunt and uncle, Ain't That News, Things I Notice Now, Tom Paxton 6, and later on my own, hearing new songs from the Briar Patch and Morning Again. These were an education in songwriting, in being simple and clear with music and lyrics. Whether you're being satirical or writing a love song or telling a dramatic human story in 3.5 minutes. Much as I liked Phil Oakes too, he had a much more limited palette, not to mention a less pleasant voice to listen to over the course of an entire album or two. And the other folkies, Pete Seeger, Judy Collins, Joan Baez, all had their moments, more with other people's songs than their own. On Tom Paxton's website, there's a quote from Holly Neer, who writes, "Every folk singer I know has either sung a Tom Paxton song, is singing a Tom Paxton song, or will soon sing a Tom Paxton song. Now, either all the folk singers are wrong, or Tom Paxton is one hell of a songwriter," unquote. Nancy Griffith once said, "I think we're all born knowing Tom Paxton songs," and Christine Lavin calls him an American classic. So, as much as it's a pleasure to play songs by Tom Paxton on my radio show, you've got to imagine my thrill, my wonder at being able to talk with Tom Paxton on this program tonight. So anybody who came of age in the 1960s or after the 60s, as I have, keep your dial at AM 1240 WGBB or on that URL, am1240wgbb.com, because for much of this hour, I will be talking to and playing the music of Tom Paxton. And who am I to have this great honor? I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, music aficionado, and host of Dave's Gone By, a DGB 13 rated mix of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. This is our 92nd episode, and I swear I'm as excited as I was on my first. So stick around. We've got Inside Broadway up next, and then not the last thing, but the first thing on my mind, Tom Paxton. Do not go away.
Oh, my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett-Minuteman Press.
Hewlett-Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful. Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yep. 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling. Let's go.
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her. Italian, Italian, Chinese, pizza, diner, Italian. You'd figure Long Island would have a wider selection. At least, there's a really good Indian place, the Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Entrees of chicken, fish, lamb, vegetarian, and if you mention Dave's Gone By, you get 10% off the bill. Open daily for lunch and dinner, the Tandoor Grill, 516-766-4440. Something different, something good. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Although summer doesn't chronologically end until September 21st, by a general consensus, the season really finishes on Labor Day. And that's why, every year, a couple of big Broadway shows close up shop just when the tourists go home. The big casualty this year is Aida, the Elton John, Tim Rice musical that overcame mediocre reviews to play more than 1,800 performances. It didn't hurt that Aida had the muscle of Walt Disney theatricals behind it, or that lead actress Heather Headley had already made her Broadway name by playing Nala in The Lion King. Recording artist Deborah Cox is the latest Aida. Adam Pascal, the show's original Rodimus, is back to finish the run. And Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees has a featured role as Pascal's dad. I have to admit, I wasn't crazy about Aida when I saw it 4 years ago. But I liked the song or two, and some of the set designs were amazing, and I grudgingly admired the way Tim Rice and Elton John took a grim and not terribly eventful Verdi opera and added old-fashioned Broadway razzle-dazzle. Unfortunately, it's only in the scenes with Rodimus' fashionista wife, but those are great, and she was played when I saw it by Sherry Renee Scott, who basically saved the show. Lisa Brescia now has the role through September 5th. That's when the show closes at the Palace Theater, so if you've been putting it off for 4.5 years, now's your last chance to catch Aida. And you have only one more week to see two other shows. After the Fall, the Arthur Miller play ending its limited run at the American Airlines Theater, and The Boy from Oz, that also closes on September 12th. They could have kept that one running as long as Hugh Jackman decided to stay in it, but his contract was up, and they couldn't find a star of similar magnitude, so they're quitting while they're way ahead. Tickets have been sold out for ages, but if you're one of those people for whom money is no object or scalping is an option, The Boy from Oz plays at the Imperial Theater on West 45th Street, and Inside Broadway plays on Days Gone By every week, thanks to Performing Arts Insider magazine. Performing Arts Insider is the theater bible for people who work in the industry and fans who just love Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance. Pick up the September issue with its fall season preview at the Drama Book Shop in Manhattan or call 516-295-1511 before Labor Day, and Total Theater will send you the current issue for just $10, nearly a third off the cover price. 516-295-1511. That is also the subscription number. Subscriptions are expensive, but worth it. And if you mention Days Gone By, you'll get 10% off. So visit TotalTheater.com for all the information and get yourself the best Broadway magazine around, Performing Arts Insider. For productions opening off-Broadway this week, the most interesting and most unusual seems to be Slava's Snow Show. It's an evening of nonverbal clowning by Russian master Slava Polunin. He takes simple objects like a rope, an overcoat, plastic bag, and brings them into his make-believe universe. And the show apparently ends with a blizzard that has both adults and children in the audience gasping with wonderment. Slava's Snow Show, opening September 8th at the Union Square Theater on East 14th Street. That's just one of the many productions opening in the weeks ahead in this new theater season. Keep track of them all through Performing Arts Insider and right here on Inside Broadway.
We've just been Inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
Hey, this is Dave, and I'd like to tell you about some radio shows on AM 1240 at WGBB. Oh, what do you hear on GBB? What do you hear when you're not hearing me? You hear Mike Shinberry play very smooth jazz. Tuesdays at 9, you can dig what he has. Thursdays at 6, all you GBB Tonighters hear Larry Davidson interview writers. Everyone, can't you see that it's fun and it's free on AM 1240 GBB? And what do you hear on the weekend airwaves? What do you hear when you're not hearing Dave? You hear Bonnie D. Graham host Long Island Dating. Fridays at 6 for advice about mating. Birdman on Saturdays and rock is his mission. Tune in 7:30 for fresh new musicians. After that, Mikey and Jimmy at 9. Humor that straddles the FCC line. And if you're a conservative, you're not alone. For Sundays at 7, you got Joe Salzone. And air. Turn it on if you dare on AM 1240. On Thursday the 7th, it's me. Thank you.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240WGBB.com. And as I said at the top of the show, sometimes we have special guests on this program, and sometimes we have very special guests on this program, but tonight it goes beyond that language. The adjective doesn't even exist to say how special and exciting this is for me. This is one of my musical idols and influences growing up. He has been in the music business for 4 decades, maybe more. Well, there isn't anything else I can say except welcome to the neighborhood, Tom Paxton.
Thank you very much, Dave, and hello to all my friends on Long Island.
Yeah, well, you were on Long Island for a while. I mean,
27 years.
And why did you move to Virginia? Why did you leave us?
Huh?
Why?
We came down here to be closer to our daughter Jennifer and grandson, and now we have 3 grandsons.
Mazel tov, mazel tov.
I also tell people that we lived in East Hampton until my car got too old and they made us move.
And do you like Virginia, or is it not quite long? How is it where you are now?
Oh, it's wonderful. We live right down by the Potomac in Old Town, Alexandria, Virginia.
Wow. And you travel still. I mean, you tour a whole lot. How much out of the year are you traveling and singing and touring, and how much is just, living at home?
I've cut it way down from the days when I had kids in college. So I don't travel as much as I used to, although you look at the schedule and you say, where's the cut down here? But it just doesn't feel like I'm working that often anymore.
Or at least not touring that often. I mean, you're not only singer-songwriter, but you've got books out now and children's books.
Yeah, I'm not currently working on any book. I'm writing songs right now, trying to get the next record ready to go in the studio.
Is that also going to be on Appleseed?
Appleseed, yes, it will be.
They released your last album, which is already about 2 or 3 years old. You're losing a little steam, dude. Not as prolific as you used to be.
No.
But does that matter to you, or is it the songs come when they do?
I'd like to be writing more than I'm writing, but we just moved houses, and I'm here to tell you that that's a time suck if ever there were one. I mean, it's been like 6 straight weeks of packing boxes and unpacking boxes.
Yeah, you moved within Virginia. It's not like you just moved from the island. You changed one house.
We only moved about 8 or 9 blocks, but you might as well be moving to Tucson. I mean, everything has to be packed up and shipped, and it just takes a little shorter time to get to the new house. That's all.
Did you, in going through all this stuff that you're packing up, come across amazing memorabilia that got you thinking about things, or stuff you haven't seen in...
No, I know where that stuff is. All that stuff's in a file cabinet. It's all my notebooks going back to 1960.
Wow, and what college...
And now and then I look through them and shake my head at all the terrible songs, and then now and then there'll be a good one, that's just kind of the way I've always worked. I've written a lot, thrown away a lot, and kept a couple.
Let me ask you, how can you tell a wretched song from a good one? It's probably a pretty fine line, or is it not?
No, I don't think it's that fine a line, Dave. I think I can usually tell before I'm even finished with a song that I've got something on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I finish the first draft of a lyric and start messing around with the tune and start changing words, then I know that I'm working on what will be at least a good song, if not a better song.
And how do you know also when you're finished? Because you've written, literally, you have written classics. I mean, not every famous songwriter can say that, but you have written probably more than a dozen folk and pop classic songs. How do you know when they're extra special, or don't you, the audience tells you?
Audience tells me. Because I've written some songs that I thought were extra special, and they didn't get anything like that kind of reaction. So usually the audience tells me, and very quickly, if something has moved them, they'll tell me that right away. I think the best reaction I get is when I'm from my fellow performers and singers when they say, really good one.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot to me because, they're writers as well.
Right.
But I never sing a song that I don't think is good. So an audience couldn't really tell me that something was good that I didn't think was good, because I wouldn't have sung it in the first place. I tell young performers that a great way of putting together a repertoire of songs to perform, and by the way, they really shouldn't be just their own songs, is to remember it. There are three ways of choosing songs. I mean, you can sing a song that you love and the audience hates, and that's kind of dumb.
Right.
Or you can sing a song that the audience loves and you hate, which is also dumb because it'll turn you into a hack. Or you can find songs that you and the audience agree on and make that the basis of your repertoire.
Well, but that also, again, it leads to a question that I'm a little curious about. Like, I know, or I assume, that no matter what, any concert that you do, at some point you've got to sing The Last Thing on My Mind. Because everybody loves it. It's a wonderful, beautiful song. But do you ever just go up there in your head and go, I want to sing another one of mine that's just as good, if only these people would let me, but I know I've got to sing Last Thing on My Mind?
Oh, no. No, I don't feel that way about... I still love to sing the song. There's something special about the song, and I still like to do it, and I know that the audience not only wants to hear it, but expect to hear it, and they have every right to hear it. I don't believe, luckily, the songs that they really want to hear are songs that I still like to do, so it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I'm not the one who had the hit with the Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini, you know, because people would be expecting to hear that.
Right.
That would be a little tough to do. But I think there are four or five songs, no more than that, four or five songs that the audience is absolutely want to hear and expect to hear and are going to hear.
Ramblin' Boy, what else?
Yeah, Ramblin' Bottle of Wine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going to the zoo or...
Yeah, well, I don't do the zoo except in children's shows now.
Right.
But those songs belong in the show, and they'll be in the show as long as I'm performing. And the deal is, it's kind of an unspoken agreement, you know. If I'll be sure to sing those four or five songs, they kind of let me choose the rest of the stuff I'll do, you know.
It's a fair deal. That's a, you know.
Yeah, it's a fair exchange. And but I'm very careful to always include those songs.
I think at one point on one of your live albums, you mentioned that your first song was The Marvelous Toy when you were working as a clerk typist for the Army. Am I wrong about that, or was Marvelous Toy your first real song?
Close. It was my first good song.
Ah, do you remember?
It was about the 50th song I wrote, and of course I thought that the first 50 were pretty good. It turns out that they were wretched, but The Marvelous Toy was the first song I wrote that I still sing, put it that way. I was at the clerk typist school in the summer of 60, and we had a mandatory 2-hour typing class 4 days a week, and about five or six of us could have passed the final exam on the first day. We'd already learned how to type. I mean, this was a touch typing class, and we were already touch typers, so there isn't anything more boring in the world than learning to type again.
Right.
So, you know, whenever we were doing exercises and stuff like that, I would just skip the exercises and type letters home and stuff like that. And then I started making up poems and stuff like that, and a couple of not-so-good songs. And then one day, clicking away on the typewriter, I wrote the words to The Marvelous Toy. It had a slightly different chorus to it. And when I sang it that weekend for Noel Stuckey in the village...
Noel Stuckey is Paul from Peter Paul Mary.
He made a suggestion about the chorus. He just thought that I could do better with the chorus, and so I forget what the original noises were, but I came up with zip, bop, and whirr.
Right.
And I sang it a couple times in the barracks to absolute silence.
Well, yeah.
You know, my fellow trainees were not into children's songs at that point.
I can't imagine
why. that was the first keeper.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was with many colors bright. And the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. It went zip when it moved and bop when it stopped and whirr when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. The first time that I picked it up, I had a big surprise. A hole right on its bottom were two big buttons that looked like the green eyes. I first pushed one and then the other, then I twisted its lid. And when I set it down again, this is what it did. It went zip when it moved, it bopped when it stopped, when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. It first marched left and then marched right and then marched under a chair. And when I looked where it had gone, it wasn't even there. I started to cry and my daddy laughed, for he knew that I would find. When I turned around, my marvelous toy took in from behind. It went zip, when it moved, it popped, when it stopped, when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. Well, the years have gone by too quickly, it seems. I have my own little boy. And yesterday I gave to him a marvelous little toy. His eyes nearly popped right out of his head. He gave a squeal of glee. Neither one of us knows just what it is, but he loves it just like me. It still goes sick when it moves and pop when it stops, when it stands still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. Oh, I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
I'm just quiz nuts about Quiznos, toasty sub sandwiches that transcend the ordinary. That's because they're made with quality ingredients like freshly sliced premium meats, crisp vegetables, and rich melted cheeses. And don't forget that special oven-toasted bread that tastes quiz nice. Extra hungry? Try their old-fashioned hearty soups and quiz nummy desserts. Watching your weight? Be quiz natural with fresh salads and low-carb toasty flatbread. Remember that Quiznos is toasting Hewlett Long Island with a new store at 1320 Broadway right next to the Duane Reade. Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off, assuming you identify yourself as a Dave's Gone By listener. Tell owner Ken you want something toasty tasty. He's scary looking, but he's quiz neighborly and happy to serve you with the extraordinary taste of Quiznos. 1320 Broadway in Hewlett, where everything is toasty.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Paxton, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
You were at the Café Wa, so I was also trying to get in the sense of how you already were playing guitar, how you got into the scene of the folk music, before you wrote The Marvelous Toy.
I came into the village every weekend on my army passes and slept on the sofa of a friend of mine from Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And haunted the coffee houses. I met people like Len Chandler. And pretty shortly after that, I met Noel Stuckey and Dave Van Ronk. And,
wow.
And so then, you know, I began to get to do guest sets, three songs, you know, and I never overstayed my welcome. And when I got out, I just stayed there and started working whenever I could.
Were you holding down a job once
again? No, that was my job. I was
excellent. Cool.
Sleeping on sofas and eating hamburgers at coffee houses and getting by that way. And eventually, you know, it started. I moved up and was able to pay half the rent. Stuckey and I lived together for a while.
And I assume this was before he was with
Peter Yarrow. It was while they were putting together Peter, Paul, and Mary and getting ready to do the first album. We were living together. He and Peter Yarrow kept me awake one whole night while they worked on the guitar parts for Lemon Tree, and I've hated this song ever since.
Oh, my gosh. And did they ever help you with any of your songs or co-write any? Or you always
wrote them? Noel and I co-wrote a couple songs, and to be charitable, they were terrible.
I assume he feels the same way. It would be horrible if he didn't.
We wrote a couple of really sugary nonsense. Oh, awful thing. I don't remember them and don't want to.
Now, at a certain point, you know, a lot of people, or I always thought your first album was Rambling Boy, but no, there was a small album on the Gaslight label. So
somebody
heard you and...
Well, it's to call it the Gaslight label is almost... It's the only album Gaslight Records ever put out. And it was just, you know, privately done by the Gaslight and mostly sold at the Gaslight. And they only pressed like 2,000 copies.
So, yeah.
And never did any more pressings of that. So that was the first album I did. I did it live at the Gaslight. And I still have a couple copies of it. It's not bad.
But then you got signed by Elektra.
Yeah.
Because they were going after... I guess they must have come late into the folk scene because Vanguard snapped up a bunch of people and I guess Warner Brothers.
Yeah, well, it seemed to me at the time as if I was never going to get a contract. I mean, I came to the Village in 60 and I got my first Elektra contract in 64. That's a long time to go without, you know, and like everybody was signing here, signing there, but me. And then finally I signed on Elektra and Jack Holtzman told me we'd go in and do a session, which meant 3 hours, and if anything good came of it, then we'd sign a contract for 3 albums.
Wow.
And if it didn't work out, in his opinion, then he'd give me the tapes from the session to do with whatever I liked. And luckily, the session went well, and I wound up doing 7 albums for them.
Right.
By the way, the last album I did for them was a double LP. Recorded live at the Bitter End, called The Complete Tom Paxton.
Right, that was the one, in fact, where you tell the clerk typo story, as I recall.
Yeah,
and that has
just been released.
Mazel tov.
With 6 extra tracks that they couldn't squeeze on the LPs. It just came out as a double CD.
By whom?
Yeah.
No, I mean, in other words, is that
I think it's only available on the Internet, like at Amazon and stuff like that.
But it's an official release by Elektra, or did Rhino get the rights?
It's Rhino Classic or something like that, which is,
cool.
You know, they were all in the same corporation.
Yeah. No, they were the ones who released Rambling Boy, finally, after... I mean, I have to tell folks that all these Elektra albums that you did have not been available on CD so far as
I know.
Well,
they're starting to be now. Elektra UK released the first 2 LPs as a single CD... And now they've released the third and fourth
albums
of the CD.
Was that Morning Again, and which was...
Morning is the Outward Bound and Morning Again.
Right. And are they going to get around? Hopefully,
they're available on Amazon. I don't know if they're in the stores or anything.
Well, do you know why it took so many years to get those on disc?
Well, they probably thought there wasn't a lot of money to be made by doing it. And, you know, that tends to pull a lot of weight.
Yeah.
That's all right. I understand. It's kind of a two-edged sword, you know. When they bring out your old stuff, it's competing with your newer stuff, which, of course, you're anxious to see do well and everything. And I can't tell you. I think I had done, like, 14 or 15 albums, you know, and people would come up to me after shows and say, boy, that Ramblin' Boy album, that's my favorite album. You've done like a dozen since then. You say, what?
That was my question about...
Well, are we talking about my chopped liver albums here or what?
Yeah, no, it's now literally the same theme as that question I asked way, way back about Last Thing on My Mind. It's like people come up to you after you've written, I don't know, what is it, 500 songs at this point, and they say, oh, Last Thing on My, I love that song. And you've got to be in your head thinking, what about these things on my most recent album? They're wonderful.
Yeah, luckily, people compliment me on the more recent song, so I don't have to go sulk.
The paper hits the front porch as the newsboys out there making his early rounds. And when he is gone, the silence creeps back in with quiet summer morning sounds. You roll onto your other side, you smile as if a new dream's coming through. It's just me and a couple angels, baby, watching over you. I love to see you sleeping, baby. Love to see you get the rest you need. Nothing gonna bother you. Your peace and quiet's triple guarantee. So walk on down your Sunday street, look around, cause we'll be walking too. You got me and a couple angels, baby, watching over you. We're over here at the side of the road you're traveling. We're here to see your path is trouble-free. May your dreams be everything you need your dreams to be. And when you wake, may mine be the first face you see. Now the sun is up and shining, so I pull the shades to keep the light at bay. To stretch your night out longer till you're rested and you're ready for your day. We're here because we love you, and to love you well is all we want to do. So it's me and a couple angels, baby, watching over you. You got me and a couple angels, baby, watching over you.
Know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience, advertise on Dave's Gone By.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Paxton, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
One thing I have to say, my favorite album of, and I know it is an older one, forgive me for saying that, but I always liked The Things I Notice Now. That was always my favorite. And I remember you reading somewhere that you were never crazy about it. You never liked the arrangements. You thought it was too much strings, too much overdone. Do you still feel that way, or have you heard it recently?
No, I don't. I'm surprised I ever felt that way, but I'm sure I probably said something stupid like that. No, I like that album.
Yeah.
That was the first album where I had David Horowitz playing with me on piano, and he did a lot of the arrangements. And Herb Buschler played bass, and then David and Herb played with me a lot over the next 3 or 4 years.
Right. And I should clarify for folks that the first couple of albums were either just playing guitar or guitar and banjo, and then you add a bass, whereas by the time you got to Town Paxton 6 and Things I Notice Now, you really had some full orchestras and some pop orchestrations going, even though it was folk rock.
Yeah.
Was that...
Well, I never called it folk rock. I don't think it didn't really have... It had a fuller sound, but I don't think it was rock.
You still consider it folk or pop?
Yeah,
or generic
folk,
label? Well, let me ask. I guess that brings to the 800-pound gorilla that always sits in the room whenever you talk about folk music. You got your first album in 64, and then you released a couple more, and while that was going on, you know, Bob Dylan was doing his thing.
Uh-huh.
Did you feel pressured as soon as he went electric to have to go in that direction because folk was no longer going to be taken as...
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, to paraphrase the title of I guess it was a Reba McEntire song years ago, I was folk before folk was cool. You know, I loved then and love now the sound of an acoustic guitar. And so I was never tempted. You know, I never saw myself as fronting some, you know, band with colored lights flashing and all this. I sing folk songs. Even the ones that I write are songs in the folk tradition. So it just never would have worked. I mean, I actually did a concert once at the Village Theater before it became Fillmore East.
Wow.
And I had piano, lead guitar, bass, and I did have a drummer at that gig. And, because we had just been working on some album, I forget. And got terrific reaction. But I was never really tempted because, I mean, you take four pieces out on the road, and you are going to net, you know, 12 cents.
Uh-huh.
I'll never forget in the middle of about 82, 83, I did an album in Chicago with just myself and David Bromberg, Even a Gray Day. I mean, that was as simple as it gets. And I hadn't seen Dave in a while, David. And I said, David, we haven't met since the Montreux, Switzerland Folk Festival of about 77. And, you know, he used to have his big band back then.
Right.
Big band, a lot of people. And he said, oh, yes, and that was the year that I grossed $412,000 and netted 19. And so I would never tempt it. I mean, yeah. I like to keep it simple.
Even a gray day with a cold wind, the train late again. Even a gray day is a good day now. Even a black night, the hard rain, the plans down the drain. Even a black night is a good night. Fresh out of answers I threw in my hand, stood with my back to the wall. Thanks to your kindness that I understand that it could have been no life at all. Now even a hard time with a thin shoe, my bills coming due. Even a hard time is a good time now. Yes, and even a weekend in a strange town, and the snow coming down. Even a weekend is a good friend. Fresh out of answers I threw in my hand, stood with my back to the wall. Thanks to your kindness that I understand that it could have been no life at all. Gray day, the cold wind, my train late again. even a gray day is a good day now. Even a gray day is a good day now.
Okay, listen to me. No, I mean, listen to me on compact disc, where bunches of past episodes of Dave's Gone By are yours to hear over and over again. Comedy sketches like the Baghdad Elections and Handyman Yoni, guests like Neil Sedaka and Karen Grassley, puns, politics, and punchlines, all just $14 a disc, shipping included. Visit davesgoneby.com for all the details, or call 516-295-1511 for me on CD.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, one of my all-time favorite episodes because, as you've been hearing, I've had the honor of talking to Tom Paxton, self-professed folk singer and troubadour and all-around cool guy. I had a million questions to ask him, and alas, I was only able to ask half a million. The good news is, this dialogue will continue. There's going to be a part two. The only problem is, it can't be next week. In fact, the next couple of weeks have been booked solid with guests, as I mentioned at the top of the show. So I'm going to have to tease you and draw this out. Tom Paxton Part 2 is probably going to air the last week of September, September 30th, I believe, because there's so much more to get to, and I want to play more Paxton music. So please, if you enjoyed this episode, if you want to hear more of that conversation, do tell your friends and acquaintances there's more to come. And it comes to you thanks to our wonderful sponsors, the Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, with a menu at tondragrill.com. Not tandoori, tandoor. Leave off the last I for India Licious. And Minuteman Press for all your xerographic, bindomatic, and pinto change-o needs. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, which just happens to be across the street from Quiznos of Hewlett. Tasty, toasty flatbreads, sandwiches, and soups, great place to hang out. Tell owner Ken that your tummy brought you there because it heard me making borborygmous noises, like, oh, yeah, 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 just like that. Tell him Dave's stomach told you to eat at Quiznos, and you'll get a 10% discount off your meal. And mentioning Dave's Gone By at Minuteman and Tondra Grill also gets you 10% off. And 10% off subscriptions, too, for Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Call 516-295-1511 for more information or to get the current season preview issue for just $10. 516-295-1511. Just a few program reminders before we go. Mike Chimeri playing light jazz Tuesday nights at 9. WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson Thursdays at 6. Long Island's Dating with Bonnie D. Graham Fridays at 6. The Mr. Redman Music Show Saturdays 7:30, followed by Mikey and Jimmy at 9. And Your World with Joe Salzone Sunday nights at 7. And thanks to Joe for having me on his convention special this past Monday. Thank you to Engineer Tom for all his usual help and good spirits. I want to send out all sorts of love and devotion to my wife, Joyce. And I want to thank 100 times over my guest tonight, Tom Paxton. The songs we heard in between the talking included the title track from Even a Gray Day from 1983, a version of The Marvelous Toy, newly recorded for the very best of Tom Paxton album in 1988, Me and a Couple of Angels, that very pretty ballad from Tom Paxton's latest release on the Appleseed label, Looking for the Moon. You can find that on tompaxton.com. We also heard Ramblin' Boy from Tom's very first album. And we're going to close with another song he did on that record, although this is a rendition done for radio, live from Mountain Stage, that popular folk and Americana program. It is the inevitable song, the one he has to play, and as he says, that doesn't bother him one bit. So the last thing on this episode of Dave's Gone By will be the last thing on my mind. The next thing on this program will be a visit from Captain Al Fuentes telling of his amazing and terrible odyssey on 9/11. So be with me next Thursday, 7 p.m., September 9th, for the 93rd edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Tex be with you, and gone by.
It's a lesson too late for the learning. Made of sand, made of sand. In the wink of an eye, my soul is turning. In your hand, in your hand. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. You've got reasons aplenty for going. This I know, this I know. For the weeds have been steadily growing. Please don't go, please don't go. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I couldn't love you better, it didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. As we walk, all my thoughts keep tumbling round and round, round and round. Underneath our feet, the subway rumbling underground, underground. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. As I lie in my bed in the morning, without you, without you, each song in my breast dies a morning, without you, without you. Are you going away with no word of farewell? Will there be not a trace left behind? Well, I could have loved you better, didn't mean to be unkind. You know that was the last thing on my mind. That was the last thing on my mind.